Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. By the way, there's a controversy that several texters have asked me to bring up. And it's sort of typical internet in that it's kind of true. Washington State Senator named Maureen Walsh said on Tuesday during a debate about a new bill being considered in the state of Washington that nurses probably play cards a considerable amount of the day. Now, that's the thing that's on the internet, that they probably play cards a considerable amount of the day. Here's the full story. And by the way, I'm not defending this woman. She's an idiot for saying that. It is a bill that would provide nurses with uninterrupted meal and rest periods at a critical care hospital with less than 25 beds. The state senator said, I would submit to you these nurses probably do get breaks already, and they probably play cards for a considerable amount of the day. That's the dumb thing she said. But in the big picture, she was trying to make a point.
Right.
About the fact that this is not a crazy busy hospital, so maybe we don't need to mandate these breaks. But anybody, as Dr. Most will certainly tell you, anybody that's dumb enough to say nurses probably play cards a considerable amount of the day, well, I hope she doesn't end up in a hospital anytime soon.
Yeah, that's a pretty ignorant statement. You know, if you haven't walked in their shoes, then don't try to say what they do.
I'm not making this up. I have never seen nurses slacking. I've never seen, whether I was in a hospital with my parents when they were sick, kids when they might get sick. Certainly I've been in a couple of times. I've never walked by a nurse's station where they got their feet up going, what time are we out of here? Never. Not a single time.
No, you know, and not only did they do a lot of documentation in that, but the patient care, if they don't sit around. They're going to go back and round on their patients. Here at CDH, we round on our patients every hour.
Right.
So these people are being seen 8 times a day. These nurses are not sitting around playing cards and eating bonbons, I assure you.
And by the way, what kind of cards would they be playing?
Yeah.
You know, what do you got a poker game going in the back? I don't even understand. That even makes sense. Doc, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing fine. I understand you're going to take a little break this week.
I am. I'm going to head down to North Carolina on Wednesday, and hopefully, well, it'll be just as nice here, probably. It was actually nicer here yesterday than it was down there, but be nice to get away for a couple days.
Now, you and Patty have 3 dogs that live in North Carolina, and there's an unbelievably great picture of the 3 of them beachside yesterday, one of which couldn't be less interested in the picture and is just staring out at the ocean.
Yeah, that's Brandy. She's a little stubborn little girl, but sweeter than heck.
Yeah. That picture, can we post that picture?
I don't know. Doc Most, can we post that picture?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think people would love to see that.
Yeah, they are the sweetest. Doc sends me a lot of pictures of the 3 Goldens because my sister and I enjoy them, and they are the sweetest girls.
3 Goldens. I mean, that's a lot of love in one house.
That is.
Yeah.
A lot of blonde hair.
A lot of hair.
Yeah, I suppose so. All right, let's talk about your bad back. And my bad back, and everybody's bad back. Back pain is so debilitating. And we saw Tiger win the Masters last week. We know he had some sort of back fusion surgery. Are we getting anywhere with back technology?
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely we are. You know, everyone in the world is going to have back pain, and everyone's listening today has probably had some form of back pain. And we certainly are getting it's interesting where we've gone. We used to do a lot of surgery, then we kind of stayed away from surgery and showed that physical therapy and building up your core can actually prevent you from surgery. We used to have to open you up and fillet, I hate to use the word fillet, but fillet you open to do some of these back surgeries, and now we can do them endoscopically. So we've made a lot of advancements in back surgery.
So the reason back surgery is so, I don't want to say dangerous, but so complex is probably a better word, is because you're dealing with the spinal column and the function of your entire body, right?
Absolutely. That's probably the most important thing. People think about, oh, I have this discomfort, make this discomfort go away. Well, these orthopedic surgeons and neurosurgeons that do this are so extremely talented because they understand not only the surgical portion of it, but the anatomical portion of it to make sure that what they're doing is not going to harm some other part of your body. The nerves come out that supply our sensation, our motor, our ability to move from different parts of the back. So when they're going in to do surgery, they just can't go in there and, you know, chop off a portion of a disc. They really have to micro dissect that so that it does allow the nerve to start to function again, and you get your full strength back and the numbness goes away and you feel much better.
So in Tiger's case, with fusing in the back, in what circumstance would that be an option?
Yeah, so sometimes, you know, the back is made up of 33 bones. They just kind of are stacked on top of each other, and in between them are the discs. So we, you know, talk about shaving the disc. Sometimes those bones, the ligaments will get too lax. Sometimes we'll have issues with the bone themselves. So instead of leaving them independent, we'll put some hardware in there and actually fuse. So we'll connect two bones together or three bones together. Gives you stability, can relieve a lot of back pain. But in Tiger's case and in any golfer's, you know, unfortunately, you seem to decrease some of your mobility because it can't move at those joints because you have metal there now.
So, you know, I got a low right back situation that flares up occasionally from golf. Where are you in pain when your back acts up?
Yeah, but mine's low back. You know, it's both sides, unfortunately. You know, I was close to having surgery. It's got to be going on 10 years ago. My surgeon said, no, we're not doing surgery. You're young enough. We're going to put you in physical therapy. We're going to work on your core. You're going to lose a little bit of weight, and your back pain's going to go away. And he was spot on.
Yeah, by the way, Doc is in phenomenal shape. He's in the best shape I've ever seen him, if not the best shape of your life since you were a kid.
So yeah, your point is
you've done your work.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and rather do your work and not have surgery, to be honest with you. Nothing against our neurosurgeons, but...
The thing about the physical therapy and surgery, and I know some cases you have to have surgery, but there are so many surgeries that can be prevented by hard work of physical therapy that a lot of people don't always want to do, that even when you're done with the therapy sessions, if you continue the exercises they give you, they keep you out of surgery forever.
Mary, you hit it spot on. You know, this is not like a course of antibiotics and then you stop taking them. You have to be very smart at what you do. You know, even in our emergency room now, if you come in with back pain in our emergency room, there's a good chance you're going to see a physical therapist before you leave. So the medications, we're not just saying, here, take this Norco or take this OxyContin and your back pain will go away. No, we're going to bring a physical therapist down there. He's going to evaluate your back. He's going to teach you some things while you're in the emergency room. And then really the biggest thing is even after your therapy, you have to remember what to do mechanically and how to lift and how to turn, and then also to do your exercises and stretches.
And there was just a physical therapist on the opening bell this morning with Steve Grzanich, and he was talking about the law changed in Illinois with being able to get physical therapy right away. You don't have to necessarily, you can go right to Athletico and, you know, they can treat you. You don't have to
instead wait of going through all the steps.
Yeah. So, because I think that's another thing that has kept people from, you know.
You're absolutely right. You know, you used to have to go to get a prescription from a physician for physical therapy. He used to have to say, this is what I want. Now you can actually self-refer to, you know, whatever physical therapy place you want to go to. It seems like they're on almost every corner these days. However, sometimes the physician is going to say, you know what, I want you to see this therapist and I want you to do these things. And that's my doctor. Dr. Calavo said, no, you're going to see Mary and you are going to do these things right here. He had it tailored to exactly my injury. Some people are just going to have aches and pains in their back, and it's okay to self-refer for something like that.
And should you pre-approve or make sure your insurance is covering it, the pre-approval thing, or does it depend?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, sometimes insurance companies are going to require a pre-authorization for physical therapy. They're going to say, we will cover you for 15 sessions and this. So check with your insurance company. Some people say, I don't care what my insurance is. I'm going to go to Athletico or wherever, ATI, and say, you know what, I want physical therapy. Can you tell me how much it's going to be per session? So whether you go through your insurance, check to make sure that you don't need pre-authorization, or check before, you know, saying, hey, how much are these sessions going to cost me out of pocket?
Is there a good core workout that you like that pretty much everybody can do?
You know, there's some simple ones if you really want to do something simple. If you've heard of planking, you know, planking will definitely work on your core, and it's simple, and you aren't doing any movements. People always want to do sit-ups thinking that they're working on their core. It's probably one of the worst exercises.
And crunches are bad, too, according to my trainer.
Because it stresses your back first?
Crunches are not good.
And you don't get in a good position. And when you're doing sit-ups, you're sitting there and you're throwing your back up just to count another sit-up. So, but there's plenty of good core exercises. You know, Pilates and yoga, just look at those. Those all work at your core and work on your balance as well.
So basically just Google up core exercises for your back and you'll get a million options.
There's stuff called V-ups. V-ups are real good too.
What are V-ups?
Very core. You just lay on your back and you bring your arms up and your feet and you touch them.
You touch your knees, but you have to learn how to press your back into the ground.
Yeah, and ever since I started doing training, I tell you, I used to have lower back pain. My lower back pain is gone from all of that.
So you got to do the work.
Yep, you sure do.
All right. Doc, when we come back, I want to talk a little arthritis, or as my grandmother used to call it, the arthritis, and CBD oil. And it turns out weed's good for you. Well, occasionally. Dr. Kevin Willis, don't worry, listeners. We're not going to just talk back and what we're about to talk today, because they're big topics, but we do want to hit on some basics here. Doc, let's talk about the arthritis.
Yeah.
I have osteoarthritis. My mother suffered from rheumatoid arthritis.
Yep.
Not that osteoarthritis is a day on the beach, but rheumatoid arthritis is just a brutal disease.
Yeah, it is. And when we use the word arthritis, it's generic, right? You add itis onto the end of any word in medicine, and it means inflammation. So conjunctivitis, appendicitis, arthritis. So arthritis obviously is inflammation of our joints. And you have osteoarthritis in your knees. And what happens there is as we age, the cushion between our joints wears away. And if we abuse them, it wears away a little bit quicker. So if all of us live long enough, we will all end up with some form of osteoarthritis as the cushion is going to go away. It'll deteriorate.
So you're saying I'm ahead of people because I got mine in my 50s.
You're much more advanced.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
But the other arthritis is the rheumatoid arthritis, the psoriatic arthritis, the juvenile arthritis. Those are autoimmune. For some reason, the body says, you know what, I don't like that joint, and it goes and attacks it. And that's the bad thing. It causes discomfort, debilitating for people, and it's their own body fighting their own joint. So fortunately now at least we have some good medications that can get people actually totally pain-free and symptom-free.
Yeah, look at a guy like Phil Mickelson who said the psoriatic arthritis problem for a long time. It's amazing that he can still perform at the level he performs at. Is that all medical? I mean, is that all prescription and medicine based, or is he doing therapies and exercises as well?
Well, you know, if you know Phil, you know, he's doing therapy, he's doing exercises. But again, his was the psoriatic type of arthritis, so they were attacking his bones as well, or his joints. So you've probably seen him on commercials. I think he takes Enbrel. There's, you know, there's quite a few medications out there for this. But he couldn't get out of bed one day and then found out that's what he had. So you look at both Tiger and Phil, you know, for the health conditions they've had, but yet they're competing at what they're doing. Phil's playing against, you know, kids half his age and yet still competing because he has his arthritis under control.
And if you have pain in your joints, it may not be just because you're getting older, and like anything else, listen to your body and get it checked out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the doctor will be able to tell you, hey, this is rheumatoid arthritis, and here's the test that we're going to do. We have blood tests to check for it. And, you know, here's our treatment options, and here's our treatment plan. Or it's our osteoarthritis, and let's talk about how much pain you're going to be able to tolerate, what we can do before we start talking about knee replacements or hip replacements.
Is the treatment much different for juveniles?
Yeah, you know, because some of the medications that we have are only been tested on adults and are actually pretty tough on kids. So there's definitely treatment options for juvenile arthritis, but not to the extent of adults that we have and how many different medications we have now for adults.
CBD oil made from what?
Yeah. So CBD oil made from marijuana plant as well as from the hemp plant. This is the hot rage. We were talking about this yesterday.
Not a fraud, not a fad. It has legitimate medical basis.
Well, let's talk about that. But we were talking about this yesterday at Easter. And my niece, Caitlin Reynolds, she works at Valentino's in Lake Forest. And she goes, oh, my gosh, we have CBD oil lotion, and it's flying off the shelves. We can't keep it in stock. And I just kind of smile and go, yeah, that's not uncommon. You're going to start to see more and more of this because they can make a lot of claims that really haven't been tested.
So the same thing supplement makers do because they don't fall under the same restrictions, right?
Correct. Now, the FDA is going to start clamping down a little bit here, but it's interesting because you have hemp, which is an approved plant and can be used for, we make a lot of things out of hemp. We make varnish, we make paints, we make soap, we put it in food supplements. There's a lot of things we do with portions of hemp. Its sister, the cannabis, the plant, the marijuana drug plant, is not legal in all states. 37 states have some form of either recreational and medicinal marijuana use, but not all states allow it. So we're kind of walking this fine line with the FDA where they're going to monitor one side and not monitor the other.
All right. So for those that do find some success with it, what type of things would it treat?
Well, that's, you know, one thing we know it treats is there's a form of seizures, epileptic seizures, that we know it's been tested and approved by the FDA. But now people will say, you know, hey, it's worked for me for my pain. It's worked for me for my arthritis. It helps me sleep. I take it now and my migraines have gone down. A lot of skincare products now, if you Google or go to Amazon, there's thousands of products, and most of them are, a lot of them are skincare products. They think it increases your skin tone as well as can treat pain in there. You know, and some people take it for depression. So whether it has the placebo effect, or whether this is going to be some whiz-bang great drug, the time's going to have to tell with actual certain testing, and because there's not even a dosing that you have right now. You just kind of guess how much to take.
Yeah, and it's a pretty impressive list of conditions, and I can't imagine anything could treat all of these, from improving sleep to treating Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or MS. Yeah. Sexual enhancement, is that erectile dysfunction?
Yep.
So all of those things.
Yeah, and so this, you think of the old West shows with the doctor that would come in on his, you know, horse and buggy and sell you that tonic that could cure anything. So whether it's a snake oil and we just see a lot of placebo effect with it, or whether it's going to play out. I think the big thing is, you know, a lot of people were saying, was Phil Mickelson taking this during the Masters? And it appears just from the photos that that's a very strong possibility.
Chewing gum thing you were talking about?
No. If you see, there's pictures in the there's actually video where he goes into his bag and he takes out a vial and a dropper and he puts the dropper in his mouth, and that's how you take CBD oil. It comes with a dropper.
I didn't see that. It's kind of funny to think about.
Yeah,
he's done it in other tournaments, so he's been spotted.
So is it approved?
Yeah, well, it's not approved, but it's not disapproved. So it's not on the list of enhancing drugs. So it's legal for the PGA Tour. So he's not doing anything illegal. The other question, like you said, what about the gum? You know, there's a lot of people that are right now saying, I bet you Tiger and Phil were chewing CBD-infused gum. Phil's comment was very interesting when they asked him what brand of gum he was chewing. And he said, it hasn't come out yet. It hasn't been approved.
So it sounds like it was.
So very interesting that's possible.
I heard Joe LaCava, the Tiger's caddy, somebody asked him what kind of gum it is, and he said he doesn't know, but that Tiger handed him a pack to open, and he's like, I'm trying to pick your clubs. I can't be opening your pack of gum for you.
So. Right. Man up. And remember, kids, if you're playing in a tournament, the limit is 13 clubs and a bong. That's the USGA rule.
Yep.
Doc, a lot of information there. We'll post those notes with the podcast from this as well, so you can hear it again or hear it for the first time if you joined us late. And we get a lot of positive texts every time you're on because people love the information. So enjoy a couple of days off. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Tell Patty and the girls we said hello.
Yep, we'll see you next Monday.
All right, buddy.
There you go. All right.
It's Dr. Kevin Most.